Welcome to the Scholten Productions Podcast. I'm Frank Scholten, and along with my co-host Nick Botros, we're thrilled to be your guides through local hockey and grassroots of the game. Man, Nick, it seems like we wanted to do something like this for a while. I mean, we kind of talked about it today. Like, the filming stuff started about 4 years ago. You asked me to come out to one of your hockey games, and, you know, wasn't really thrilled about it, right? Like Junior C, well, what good can that do, right? But, you know, just kind of started coming out to some games and filming some stuff, posting it on TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. And it just kind of, you know, it took off. And, you know, it's brought me a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that I can do in terms of video and media now. I'm pretty stoked about it. So, yeah, excited to kind of use my platform to talk about some levels of hockey that don't always get shown in the spotlight. And
no, thank you. Thank you for including me on this journey, man. It was kind of a half joke when I asked you to join or come out and film, and seeing you as a globetrotter doing tournaments all over North America now. It's just been an absolute pleasure to watch your content get better and better as the years have gone by and opportunities just coming to you in bunches.
No, I appreciate it, man. Like, yeah, obviously, yeah, a lot of opportunities come. You meet a lot of cool people, and you know, things just kind of keep going. It's been such a cool experience. You know, just a big reason why, like, you know, I hear so many podcasts now, and it, you know, talks about the high levels of the game, and I don't really hear as much about, like, you know, hearing about maybe the lower levels or younger levels in general, right? Like, a lot of kids, you know, these upcoming prospects don't get covered as much, and you just hear a lot about these lower levels, like Junior BC, why they're important, and just a lot of stuff out here in Alberta, Western Canada, that just doesn't get covered. So I thought, why not be the ones to start shining a light on that, honestly. Yeah, just a quick intro for Nick here. So Nick, you know, we grew up together, played hockey throughout our youth years in Barrhead. Had a great time doing it. Nick was just the biggest stud on the team, always carrying with too many goals, too many points. But yeah, no, he's helped me out with a lot of the video stuff too. And, you know, I thought, what better guy to have along for the ride here on, you know, a bit of uncharted territory, what we're going on to. So Nick's got a good knowledge of the game as well, and especially on our first topic today, which we're going to be talking just a bit about, you know, the end of your hockey career in minor hockey, and what you can do after if you're not planning on pursuing it full time, most namely Junior B and C. We'll have another guy on, Ashton Mackey. He's going to come on and talk about his experiences in both levels, and we'll just have some banter back and forth with the fellas, and hopefully give you guys some advice on what you can do if you're coming out of minor hockey and, you know, don't plan on making the pros, right? So yeah, so now with just like some of these leagues we talk about, like Junior B and C, like I've seen it, man, like they get trashed in my comment sections all the time. People seem to have like this just hatred towards Junior B and C. Like, you know, do you know where that stems from? Like, do you have, like, can you just provide a little bit of insight on why people might not be the biggest fans of these leagues?
For me, it stems from a lot of people that it's, like you said, it's not talked about a lot, right? You get guys who are coming up and playing A, B hockey all the way through. They're guys who play double, triple A, don't get picked up by the junior A teams, don't get picked up by the college teams, don't, like, you look at the WHL draft when we're all 15, like I went and did the Team Alberta stuff and whatnot and didn't make it very far, but only a finite amount of guys go. You look at the amount of guys that are in the top leagues around the world, and you look at the total amount of hockey players, and not just hockey players, but all sports in general. It's people who probably like didn't really see that as an option and don't understand that there are very good players, hell of players playing in these lower leagues that when you get 18, you age out of U18 and stuff like that, you can't, your journey's over, right? But these leagues offer a chance for guys who are moving on to the next stage of life, going through school, learning what it's like joining the workforce, to be able to go out and still play the game they love in a competitive environment. Because there's that old adage that all roads in hockey lead to beer league, which is true. I play it, you play it. I guarantee you most people that are going to listen to this play some form of beer league, right? All roads lead there, but it doesn't mean you have to go straight there out of U18, right? Because these leagues offer opportunities for people who want to do the competitive, the hitting and stuff like that, and still want to play with that competitive edge that comes with hockey. And you can stretch that out until you're 22 years old if you're lucky enough to be picked up as a fourth year kind of guy, and still have a good time, still have that feeling of camaraderie when you're in the dressing room, going out and doing stuff with the team, going to their rink and having fun at practices, going to their rink and still doing that pregame routine that you've done for 18 years, or 18 minus 5 years, 13 years of your life there, stuff like that. You're able to continue that on, and it also provides an opportunity for you to maintain some level of physical activity and making sure you're not just letting yourself go, for lack of a better term, as life gets, because life gets busy once you're done and done high school and stuff like that. It creeps up on you, and you run out of time to do stuff when you start working, you start living life and doing other things. But it's nice to be able to stretch that out and still have that kind of escape from reality, still live out that part of you that was so big. And at least for me, when growing up, I was at the rink 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, basically. I was straight from school, straight to the rink. Home was the second thought, right? I just wanted to be on that rink. And so playing junior B and then eventually dropping down to junior C there, it was a blast, right? I got 4 years more of hockey that a lot of people don't get. And so I think a lot of the people who hate on it don't realize what these leagues truly offer. You look, there are opportunities of going and playing with guys who move on to the junior A's, guys who move on to the college. I know when I was playing junior B, I had guys who were playing in the WHL and realized they're not going anywhere because there's only so many spots, right? Same with a couple guys I played junior C with. They played, they had offers to go play college and stuff like this, but sometimes life just doesn't add up, right? You can't afford to move down to the States to play for the school you were offered at. You can't afford to move to out of province schools or even out of city schools and stuff like that. So it just gives an opportunity for people who want to continue to play this great game to continue to play it. And there are good level hockey players that play in these leagues, and it provides an area for them to still play the game that they love.
Yeah, totally. And you talk a lot about like how, you know, it gets expensive, right? Hockey's an expensive sport. It's one of the most expensive ones out there. You talk to, you know, any of these guys that are getting these college offers or that have opportunities to move other places to play hockey, like if they're looking like long-term and they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, is this game going to contribute to my future life if I go chase this competitively? If the answer is no, you know, what's the point, right? Like it's harsh. I mean, there's so many experiences you get from probably playing in these high level teams, going to play college, going to play, you know, WHL in these high level leagues, junior A, whatever you name it. But you know, the cost is a big part of it, and that's something we'll get into later too and in future episodes. But it's really just you know, it gets expensive, and not everybody can drop, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 plus to play on these you know, national, international teams that take you further towards higher levels of the game. Things just get expensive, and I've talked to so many people where it's just, that's the issue. They want to keep playing, they want to keep doing these things, but you know, do you want to choose between a set job offer you have after university and, you know, live comfortably, or do you want to take that risk and you know, drop a ton of money to go play somewhere else? There's scholarships and all that stuff, but not everybody gets that either, right? So it's really a case-by-case situation. But I think the bottom line is hockey's an expensive sport, and it's only going to get even more expensive. So I think that's where these junior B and C leagues come into place. Can you just you know, give us a little rundown of the difference between junior B and C, what their schedule looks like and what the commitment's like? Because I know a lot of people won't know about the leagues in general, and whether or not the difference between junior B and C is one thing. So,
yeah, no, it's definitely a much bigger time commitment when you're playing that junior B level as compared to the junior C. So when I was playing junior B, it was Tuesday, Thursday was practice, and it was an hour and a half practice. And then you had either a game, an away game, either Wednesday or Friday, sometimes both. And you always had a home game on Sunday. So you're at the rink 5 days a week. And so for kids who are going to school, working full time, stuff like that, because this is a league, these are kids and I shouldn't say kids, young adults who are, these are young.
What age range?
It's 18 to 22 if, 18 to 21, technically 22 if you are eligible for your fourth year, you're allowed to keep four 22-year-olds. And then depending on circumstances, you can get 16, 17-year-olds into the league as well for both Junior B and Junior C. But like for Junior B, it's four to five times a week at an hour and a half for practices and then 2.5 hours for games. And like my second year Junior B there, our captain was taking five courses a semester doing an engineering degree. I could not imagine trying to do an engineering degree while trying to be at the rink 5 times a week, 4 times minimum, right? It's a huge time commitment. It's a hell of a payoff because it's just an absolute blast playing in all these different places and going out and playing high level hockey against guys who played elsewhere and stuff and come back because of time and money for most of the reasons. And then dropping down to Junior C, like it's 1 to 2 games a week and a practice a week if you're lucky kind of thing. It's no more than 3 times a week and it's a bit lighter of a schedule. I think Junior C plays 27 to 29 games, whereas Junior B it's 35 to 40 games plus your seven round or best of seven series for playoffs, whereas Junior C it's best of three, and then I think the finals is best of five. So it's just it allows students and people who don't have students and people who are working there the ability to kind of manage their time a lot better. And so that was part of the reason I dropped down, is because we had school was getting intense and I was working full time and all that kind of stuff. And so to be trying to get to the rink four to five times a week was just getting exhausting, and I couldn't keep up anymore with the lack of sleep and trying to keep up with studies and working full time. And so it was just made sense to drop down and go play. I had some friends who were in the league and was able to transition in nicely. And so it just is a wonderful thing that you have options if you have the time. And if you have the time to play Junior B and you have the skill level, it's an awesome league. I played in it for 2 years, had a blast. Then I played 2 years worth of Junior C and had an absolute blast down there too, but it was just a little less intense when it came to the time commitment, and I had a blast in both leagues.
Yeah, you also own the most icy hot out of anybody I know, man, with all the injuries you've had on your back.
Yeah, no, it was definitely interesting times when I was finishing up.
Totally. So yeah, like the workload, right? Like I've talked to guys too, right? Like, you know, and when I watch games, I can totally see the skill level difference between Junior B and C. When you go to Junior C, man, some of these games, like it just looks like guys are out there, you know, trying to hurt each other, man, like trying to get the best of each other. Like what have you noticed in that sense? Like, I mean, Junior B playoffs, though, I mean, we're here in Alberta, right? I watched quite a couple of the Junior B playoff games, and it's the same thing. Once those games get intense, those guys don't shy away from a hit or a shot after the whistle either. But you know, which besides workload, like what do you think the biggest difference is?
I think like you mentioned it, right? Like Junior B definitely can see that skill difference, right? So you look at the Junior B compared to Junior C. When you're practicing 2 weeks or 2 times a week at an hour and a half, the passes are crisper, the breakouts are faster, the goalies are sharper, stuff like that, right? Because you're able to iron out, polish off a bit of the rough around the edges stuff. Whereas if you get an hour practice once a week, once every other week, right, you don't quite have the same amount of repetition, stuff like that. And Junior C is just a lot more inviting to people who have played B hockey to A hockey all the way through, whereas the Junior B is a lot of your guys who played their double and triple A all the way through. There's definitely a higher skill level. And so you kind of weed out some of those guys who grew up playing those third, fourth line minutes, and their job was to go out and run amok and hit people and try and shift that momentum in your team's favor. And so you get more variety, or you get more of those guys in the Junior C because it's a lot more their speed and stuff like that. And so it's like anything, right? Hockey is a game of emotion. It can get out of hand in both leagues. I think when Junior C, I think it would have been 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now, they introduced the mandatory full face shields, and that really tamed down the game down there. A lot of people, it's not as much, there's no real fighting anymore. Like when you get a cross check up high, or you get a high stick, or you get slashes and this and that, you have that full cage protecting you. But at the other end of the spectrum, right, it also invites people to have that feeling of invulnerability, and that, okay, I can do something dumb and he turns around and whacks me, I got a full cage, right? So it's that give and that take, right? So you're protecting more people, but you're also inviting more retaliation, more dirty stuff up towards the head and stuff, because you know you're not taking teeth, you know you're not damaging eyes and stuff like that. Whereas that visor, you would hope guys have that slight hesitation of like, okay, I'm gonna get my stick up a little high here. Oh crap, his teeth, those are expensive, like, right? And so it's a bit of a mixed bag, right? So you have those guys who are your high-end guys down in Junior C, you have those guys who like hitting, like getting into the corners, like clearing out the front of the net, stuff like that, who that is the game they've always played, and it meshes well. But it has tamed down, and it has gotten to a better point, where better point than it was, say, 6 years ago, where you had people running amok, fighting all the time, trying to go out, and how many people can I injure tonight, right?
Jeez, yeah, and like that face shield thing, man, that's something I want to get into, because, you know, that's like been the past couple of years, and I always see comments to people saying, oh, it's like easy to do that when you're wearing a full face shield. But like, besides like some of these unsanctioned leagues that aren't part of Hockey Canada, I think the BCHL, you're still required to wear full face shield even though it's unsanctioned. And I know Brooks, like the Brooks Bandits, they made it a policy a long time ago that you needed to wear a full face shield either way. And I think that was just kind of their way of trying to lower that part of the game as well, stay away from the dirty stuff. But yeah, you know, these full face shields, man, like if you fight nowadays too, like you're punching a guy, some of them throw their gloves off, like you're punching a guy with bare knuckles on his visor or a cage, and you're going to leave a serious injury either way there. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword in that sense. But I really think, like, even when you go to beer league, man, like half the guys on my beer league team wear half visors. Like, you know, there's so many guys out there that are just swinging their sticks with no regard for anybody's, you know, well-being. So like, you couldn't pay me to go out there with a visor, man. Like I, even the other night I took one in the cage, and I'm just thinking, like, it's not even a cool story if you get hurt in beer league and lose a tooth. It's like, what are you doing, man? I know you wore a half shield. Did you wear a half shield?
Yeah. Always. As soon as the only time I went away, I wore the full shield all the way through minor hockey. And then when I played junior B, you were still allowed the half shield. Then when I went to junior C, it was full shield. And then as soon as I was done it, I went straight back to the half shield.
Yeah. For me, I don't know. Like a lot of people hate on that rule change and say, I see both sides of it, because some people are saying, well, if you take away the half shields, you also take away like people's people lose their sense of accountability. And, you know, if you can swing around and do whatever you want and there's no fights, you know, guys are going to be running around being stupid. But on the other side of that, if you give guys a full face shield, like, right away you lose the shots in the face and the high sticking calls, but maybe people are a little bit more, you know, not as afraid of getting into a fight and doing stupid things like a check from behind without consequences, right?
No, exactly. And like, for me, I saw when I was playing junior B, there was at least one or two fights a night. And I'm a firm believer that fighting belongs in hockey, because it's one of those sports where there's 10 players on the ice. And if you're lucky, there's four officials, two referees, two linesmen. Most of the time, it's one referee, two linesmen, and linesmen are just there to call the lines, right? Whereas the ref is trying to find out all those penalties. And so you get a ref, and as a ref as well, right, we miss things. And to have that ability to go out and get into a fight if something does get missed, it's that whole adage of policing the game, right? It's evening out. It's the tit for tat kind of situation, right? You know, if you're going to go in and hit somebody from behind, or you're going to take a cheap shot, something like that, you know that you're going to have to answer the bell. You're going to have to sit there, drop the gloves, and Most likely because you just hurt Buddy's teammate, he's coming at you with a vengeance, going after you pretty hard. So you know you're going to get the most likely the worst end of the stick on that ordeal, right? You take that face shield away, and they made they banned fighting from both Junior C and Junior B when they took away the half shield rule, right? And so you take away that self-policing of the game now, and you are fully reliant on a singular referee to maintain a control and watch for everything when there's 10 guys skating around at high speeds where things shift on a dime, right? You can't watch everything all the time. And it was always nice knowing that if somebody did something dumb to me, one of my teammates was coming in and dealing with it right then and there, right? Whether the ref was going to call a penalty or not, vice versa, right? Somebody did something dumb to one of my teammates, it was either me or somebody else was going to beat them to it, because that's the whole point of a team, right? We got each other's backs. And taking away those half shields, yeah, it protects your face. It doesn't get the scars. You don't have to worry about losing an eye. Hockey Canada doesn't have to pay for near as many teeth anymore. But at the same time, it gives that feeling of invincibility, right? I can put myself, and it's not just the people who are doing the hitting, right? It's a lot of the people, a lot of people going in and putting themselves into vulnerable situations and thinking, okay, I have this full face shield. If I fall, I get hit, I fall awkwardly into the boards, I fall here and there, nothing's going to happen, right? There's that false sense of security. And you see that more and more these days. Like a lot of, I think it also stems from the fact that they raise the age of hitting in hockey, where you get kids who not only don't know how to to give a hit, but don't know how to take the hit, which is the more important part, in my opinion. And then you add that face shield in there, and now there's that extra sense of security that you think is there, but truly isn't, right? Because what's half, not even a half inch of metal gonna do when you're getting hit in the face with a stick, right? It's still gonna hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I do want to wrap it up in a sec here because we do want to throw it over to Ashton in a couple minutes here. But I did get a couple questions. People are asking what kind of NHLers came out of Junior B and C, and this list is actually it's quite funny. I'll just kind of read out some names here. One thing I do want to note is especially about 30, 40 years ago, Junior B. In Ontario, especially Junior B was quite a high level of play. It was comparable to Junior A at that time. The only reason they played Junior B is because a lot of these rural areas, they couldn't join the Junior A leagues. They had to start their own Junior Bs in these rural small towns. And same thing, like a lot of these, guys that would go on to be future superstars, they can't afford to leave their small farm towns, or they can't leave what they're doing for work to go play on these Junior A teams. They had to stay home and play Junior B. So it was a very elite level at that time, and there was a lot of guys that came out of Junior B, especially in Ontario, about 30, 40 years ago. Even today, the level of Junior B in Ontario is quite high, comparable to out here in Alberta. So it's a completely different show out there. But just this list right now, so we actually got Wayne Gretzky came out of Junior B. He was a underage with the Vaughan Nationals. We've got Shea Weber, Mark Scheifele, and Mark Letestu. All those guys played Junior B before they went on to play in the NHL, which I think is just incredible. Like I said, the level was a lot higher back then, still is, but just to see that name of all those guys come out of Junior B, there's plenty more. There's lists all over online, so you can check them out. But the Junior C is where you kind of gotta get down to the nitty gritty. You gotta do your research, and I got team names here too, so that should be fun. First off, we got Steve Mason. He played in the Niagara and District Junior C Hockey League for the Grimsby Peach Kings. Now, he's a goaltender, spent some time with Columbus, I think, and he was on some other teams as well. But that's a name a lot of you guys might remember. We got Joel Hanley, spent some time with the Stars. He played in the Central Ontario Junior C Hockey League with the Georgina Ice. In 38 games in Junior C, he had 8 goals, 22 assists. And a lot of you Oilers fans will know this name too. We got Dwayne Rolison. Oof, don't say that too loud around the Oilers fans. They'll get some PTSD.
Oh, that's a sad moment.
Dwayne, he played for Niagara and District Junior C Hockey League for the Norwich Merchants. In 19 games, he had a 3.03 goals against average. In 19 games, that's not great stats, but I'm not sure what he was doing in junior C. Like, you know, you can go to the elite prospects and you find it right there. It's, you know, those aren't great stats for junior C. I'm not sure if he was coming back from an injury or if he was just taking a year off or what he was doing. But, you know, you look at that stat, you don't think a guy like that's going to be in an NHL stud, that's for sure.
No, and you said it there with, like, the way that junior B and stuff like that used to be back in the day. It was the way that it should have been, right? It should be considered a feeder league, right? You get guys start out in the junior C level. You develop them so the next year they can make a run, try and make the junior B team. Then the next year they can try and make a run, make a junior A team. And then that year after, try and get onto a college or a WHL team, right? It should be structured where we're all on the same path here of trying to get these players as far as you can, right? And that's the way it used to be back when the Gretzky's and stuff like that were going through those leagues, is it was you were linked to your junior B team, had a junior C team below it, a junior A team above it, and a CHL team above that yet, right? And so it just all fed one into the other, right? And that's the way it should be. And with the way Hockey Canada has been managing things for the last 20, 30 years now, it's become so fragmented and no rhyme or reason. And that's why a lot of the countries, as awesome as it is, are starting to catch up in the world of hockey.
Totally. Yeah, you hear a lot about how good the U.S. is getting at hockey now. Some of those countries over in Europe, man, I think Canadians are going to be shocked in a couple of years here when we're not performing as well as we were on the international stage.
Exactly.
I do want to throw it over to Ashton. We do got him waiting in a room in a couple minutes here. Ashton, he's going to fill us in some more about his time on Junior B and C, his time in Beaumont. So we're just going to throw it over to Ashton Mackey right now. Yeah, we got a couple of videos that you want to take off.
Got on NHL because of you, so thanks.
Which one was that?
Gotta love that.
Guillermo Salazar.
No. Not that one.
Yeah, I tripped him. That was me.
Oh, shit, eh?
Oh, man.
It happens, though. It happens.
Nick was the one filming up in the stat. He was doing the live stream, and then I was at the far end. But that, man, that one is actually crazy. That's like a core memory, like how far. That one.
Oh yeah, no, that was nasty shit. Too. Yeah.
It was a sweet goal. I just feel bad for Tommy, man. Mulholland, man, he got clipped so many times.
Man, he got grilled about it every year I played with him. So
yeah, I feel
he took it. He took it like a champ. So it's not that bad. I'm pretty sure he's all right.
That's the important part.
Yeah. Exactly. We're thrilled to welcome today's guest to the Scholten Productions podcast, hailing from the booming metropolis of Beaumont, Alberta. Ashton Mackey joins us to talk a bit about playing Junior B and Junior C, his time there, and just give us a little more insight on the league. But Ashton, thanks for taking some time to join us, man. We know it's a busy day with the Oilers game going on tonight. Appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. But how's your spring been going so far? Are you missing hockey? And what you been up to, man?
I mean, yeah, thanks for having me. But spring, nothing too crazy. Missing the boys more than the game itself. I mean, my body was getting pretty banged up, but feeling better now, just kind of missing being around the fellas, seeing them every day. So
totally. You guys had a good group over there, the Chiefs, man, pulling St. Albert all the way to the final. And that was just a tough final overall. I mean, they had a good team, whichever way you put it. And, you know, you guys put up one heck of a fight. So it was cool to watch a bit of that series for sure.
Oh yeah, they're good. They're a very, very well-coached team.
Totally. I just want to run things back a little bit, too. Kind of, you know, I assume you played U18 all the way through in Beaumont, right?
Yeah.
So when did you kind of first hear about Junior C, and what made you think, oh, maybe I'm going to keep doing this after hockey? And why didn't you go to Beer League instead right away?
Oh, it's actually kind of funny. So me and one of my buddies, it was literally the day of Junior C tryouts. I was like, I was so keen on not playing hockey or whatever. And then I was like, nah, screw it, I'll try it out. And then just kind of went from there. Don't regret it at all, though. No.
What made you want to transition to Junior B in your last year?
Well, it's just like the pace of play and like the competitiveness. I started, like, I don't know, with Bucks, it's really fun. It is competitive, but at the same time, it's kind of beer league-ish at the same time, if you know what I mean. But I just wanted to see what the league was like. I mean, I affiliated a few times and I was like, I want to be up here. It seems fun.
Yeah. You talk about that pace of play. Like, what was the biggest transition for you going from Junior C into B? What did you have to adjust the most?
I definitely say just like awareness. Like, you do not have that much time with the puck, depending on the teams you play. Like, you got to get that thing moving pretty quick. You got to Like, there's guys that they'll see lanes that I didn't even know existed. So it's, you kind of got to read that and just be a little bit more aware, and the speed, obviously.
Yeah, Nick, would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, it was a different beast up there in junior B as compared to junior C. Like, you definitely have, like, I was a forward, right? And so you have a lot more time with the puck when you're in junior C, where junior B, you have a lot bigger, faster, smarter defensemen trying to play up on you. They have much better gap control. And like Ashton said, they just, people see lanes you didn't even know existed, and all of a sudden it's bing, bang, boom, and well, you're just now in a, you're a dash one, right? It's not a good feeling.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
No, exactly. And we talk a bit too about like the commitment levels, the scheduling. What did you notice, like, Ashton, when you moved into B, did you notice like it was a more intense schedule? Like, how many days were you at the rink in B versus C?
Oh, it was 100% different. Like, with Bucks, it was, you had one game a weekend, one practice a week. And then with Chiefs, it was, we had practice Tuesday, Thursday, games Friday, Sundays. And I mean, there's those sporadic games during the week too, like, you don't know. And then you're going to the Bill Hunter on a Wednesday right after work. So there's quite a bit.
Junior B, I believe there's five leagues in Alberta, right? Because when you do provincials, I think there's six teams, and then you have the five team winners from each league, and then the host. And then with junior,
yeah, so
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you have your Edmonton League, your Calgary League, your Red Deer Area League. That's three, right? You got your Medicine Hat, Lethbridge kind of league, and then you've got your Grand Prairie Area League. And so then you also get the host in there for the sixth, right? So there's five different leagues, and it's kind of nice to see the amalgamation of all those teams at a place like provincials.
Yeah, and with like junior C, right, like we said, it's just the two cities. Like in Alberta anyways, it's Edmonton and Calgary, so then a lot more teams get to go to provincials too. But you know, I genuinely think that's the right thing, because I don't know if you could have junior C teams survive in like those small rural communities that a lot of those junior B teams, you know, can stay in, like places like Fort St. John, places like Fairview, places, you know, places down south. I don't know if you can run junior C teams when a lot of those guys are already moving into places like Edmonton and Calgary to pursue school or work, right?
No, exactly. It's one of those things of like, you set up the league where the people are going to be at, and a lot of the draw of junior C, at least in my experience, was, is it's the working slash school person's league, right? And so you put the leagues where people are going to be going to school is the big one, right? You got the big universities and colleges and the big city hubs of Edmonton and Calgary, where you can draw a lot more people in who thought that they were done hockey, and then now all of a sudden there's this chance to continue to play that competitive hockey, right?
Completely different cost, completely different landscape. And you know, I understand why there's, you know, five leagues versus two for the different levels. You know, Ashton, I you know, it's really cool to see how you came from that transition to C to B. I saw you play in both leagues. I saw a lot of you playing junior C. What's like, where would you say your best memory is in each time with the Bucks versus the Chiefs? I know you spent a lot more time with the Bucks than you did the Chiefs, and I know like it's been painful at times in your junior career, getting to a lot of those semifinals, finals, and you know, people talk about the Beaumont curse, right? Like, is that a real thing too? So yeah, just run me through some of your best memories, and you know, how tough it was to try and get it done in some of those games.
100% Beaumont's cursed, no questions asked about that. I mean, 3 years in a row, we were in four finals, three league and one provincial final, and lost all of them. So it kind of just goes to show that, I don't know, maybe they're praying against us or something, but it's clearly working in their favor. But no, I think it's kind of tough. Favorite moment from Bucks, I'd probably say that atmosphere in Gibbons in playoffs when there was no glass behind the benches at all yet, and then they were banging garbage cans and everything, dumping beer. And that was a pretty good one. And then beating them the next year, that felt good. That felt good to do.
Yeah, yeah. Just about Gibbons too, like game three, like their goalie, was it 60-something safe shutout? It was nuts. Like, I mean, I hate to bring that shit up again, Aston, no, but I know it's not the end of the world. But like, what happened that game? You just like couldn't get anything by him, man. Eh?
I mean, we had 60 shots, but like good shots, maybe 15, 20. I mean, there's a lot of the times where it's like, oh, it's a it's a shot and it's home ice, so maybe they're a bit inflated. I mean, I don't know, but no, yeah. I don't know. They couldn't get it done. It was a 1-0 game, so it was just pretty back and forth the whole time.
When you're starting to pump those shots on net, like, you know, guys are throwing floaters, like, kind of like you're saying, does it feel like, oh man, nothing's going to be able to go in this game? Like, he's just so hot, or.
I never try to think like that. Like, there's always a chance one can squeak by. You just kind of got, you got to shoot smarter. Like, you can't just walk in on a 2-on-1 and throw a muffin and pray that it maybe gets a rebound or goes in. But
yeah,
it was weird with him because he was a right catch. So everything, yeah, mechanics are all off. You got to shoot different areas and stuff. So definitely that helped a lot.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Whenever you go up against a right hand catch goalie, you think you're shooting top blocker and all of a sudden he catches it and now the play's dead, right? You're always taught it, shoot glove last resort, right? You want to throw it off his blocker, throw it off his pad, so then maybe a garbage goal or something good can happen from that. But when you're just wired to shoot against a left-handed catch goalie and all of a sudden you're shooting top blocker and he keeps catching it, it just gets annoying after a while.
100%. It's just, I don't know. It's definitely something that gets you pretty fired up because you don't see it often. And when the goalie's a right catch, they're usually pretty good. So,
oh, exactly.
There's a reason for it. Yeah. And yeah, we talk about like that Gibbons atmosphere too, how that was so sick. Would you say like the atmosphere you guys had in the Ken Nickel there for Junior B, was that, did you have a lot of good memories from that too? Or what was your most memorable moment with the Chiefs this year? That interview in Sherwood Park, eh?
No, I wouldn't even say that one. That one was kind of like they came in because they had HN Live for the whole year. And then coach comes in and they're all asking. And I was in the bathroom and I come out and they're like, yeah, go interview. I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. And then I had to throw a couple words in there like goobers and stuff.
Come on, Chiefs forward, Ashton Mackey. Ashton, what did you make of the opening 20 minutes for your group?
I definitely think we came out really flat. We were trying to hem those goobers in, but...
It's like hilarious, and this guy's texting me. He's like, "Yeah, they just like kind of voted anybody to go out there and interview, and they ended up picking like the first year guy." And like, you know, like I don't know how many minutes had you played in the game up to that point?
Maybe six. This was before I was on the power play, so not much. I thought that was pretty good. But favorite memory has to be round two, game five against Wetaskiwin at home on a Friday night. And I've never seen the rink so packed before. And it was roaring in there. And it was crazy.
And Wetaskiwin's super close too. That's a rivalry and a half, man.
Oh, exactly. No team won on the road. So it was all home wins for both sides. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely glad we got out of that series because the Sherwood Park series, it totally went in our favor. Mm-hmm. To be quite frank, we steamrolled them, honestly. Like, I don't think they had a chance at all in the series.
I was shocked, man, when I heard like how much you guys won that series. Like, and I was talking to some of your teammates. So you're like, you know, you guys went off in that series against Sherwood Park, and it was cool to see because, you know, Sherwood, like, they were the defending champions too. I mean, yeah, I'm
back to back.
Yeah, I didn't follow a lot of the league that year, but I was expecting another St. Albert Sherwood Park showdown. So it was cool to see you guys make it there for sure, dude. The fact I saw you on the power play too, that was the game before St. Albert won. It was your guys' last home game, but some guys from the Bucks are standing beside me and they're like, man, why do they got Ashton on the power play? And then they see you go stand right in front of the Dendy and just stand there. They're like, oh no, now that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that was my job right there. I was like, I probably had like 8 games left and they were like, started throwing me out on the power play. And I was like, I knew my job. I'm standing right in front and just battling because I don't know. I find I'm not the one scoring the goals, but I mean, it feels damn good when you box out the goalie or box out the defenseman. You see it go right past you in the net. It's a pretty surreal feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. You got Lucic. That was basically his job on the.
Zach Hyman.
Oh, yeah. Zach Hyman for sure.
Yeah, I'd take that one. Not 50 goals, but, you know, same kind of aspect, though.
We'll call it Ryan Smith just to make us all happy.
I like that one. I'll take that.
Oh, you need those shin.
That's an apt description.
If that's your role, you need those shin pads that have that extra padding in the back, man. I don't care how tough you are, but when you get a slash in the back of the legs from the goalie and there's no padding there, like that one stings for a couple days for sure.
Oh yeah, no, that does not feel good, not at all.
No, exactly. One thing we were talking about earlier too, like the cost of hockey too, is a reason why a lot of guys will opt to go play junior B or C, right? Like you might have this potential to go play at this school in the States. You might have this potential to go play junior A, WHL. And I know Sherwood Park, like last year especially too, they had a couple guys that, you know, came from the AJ and just, you know, wanted to move back home, wanted to stick close to home. Didn't want that intensity level. So a lot of it comes down to cost and time, right? Were there any guys on the Chiefs that you know of that probably could have played a higher level hockey and just chose to stay close to home?
Oh, yeah. We had so the Twins, they came back this year and they played a season in the MJ and a season in the SJ. And I think they came home, they started going to school. So that's obviously a big thing. And then we had one of our D-men from the KI, Schultz, played in the SJ. And then I definitely think quite a few players on our team could have played that like next level, but it's hard being at this like age in your life and not having like a job yet and working and making money. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, I don't know. My thought process is if you're playing junior A and you're doing really well and you can go to school after, pursue it. But if not, you kind of just got to know when to, like, I don't know, pack it up and come back home and play junior B or junior C or whatever.
Yeah, no, like I know when I was playing Royals there, we had a couple guys who were from AJ, SJ, KI. We had one guy who came down from the WHL and stuff just because, like Ashton said, right, they saw the writing on the wall. And when you get to be 21, 22 years old and you're not really playing big minutes and you kind of see that writing on the wall of, okay, I can't really take this further. You look at guys back home who are finishing up school around that age and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I gave it an honest, fair shot. It's time to call it what it is and start getting on with that next part of my life. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And we mentioned the cost. If you don't mind me asking you guys, like, you'll have a better idea. What did you guys each pay for a season of junior B and C? Ashton, if you don't mind, I'll start with you.
Junior C, I think it was, our first year it was a bit more expensive just because, like, new jerseys, helmets, and all that. I think it was like $700 or something. And then Chiefs was around, I think, $500 flat. So nothing too crazy for what I got. So
yeah, for me, both years of Royals, because we did a casino every year, volunteering and stuff like that. So that went towards a lot of our expenses and stuff like that. So it was about $350 to $450. I can't remember the exact number, but it was under $500. And then when I went to junior C, it was sitting at about just shy of $800 a season, just because, like, you don't do as much fundraising, you don't have the team sponsors and stuff like that, so it's a bit more pricey.
Yeah, and, you know, it can get so expensive, man, in some of these other leagues if you want to keep pursuing. I mean, junior A, they take pretty good care of you, but you have to be good enough to make it, right? Mm-hmm. And then you hear about some of these leagues that are charging $5,000 to $10,000 plus to play for them for a season. But I think junior C and junior B, like, it seems like it stays within that $400 to $800 price range. And I think if you're really wanting to pursue hockey after you're done U18, but you don't think you want to keep pursuing it at that top level, I think junior B and C is a really good option.
It definitely is, especially with, like, it's not so much the price of things like fees that kill you. It's the fact that, like, when I was, like, when you and I, Frank, we were getting to that age where it made a difference if you had a top of the line stick or not. A top of the line stick was $150. Now you walk around Pro Hockey Life United Cycle and a top of the line stick is $450. And 10 years, it's gone up three times. Where you look at skates, right? They used to be $800 for a top end pair of skates. Now you're looking to spend $1,200 to $1,500. It's not so much the registration fees that's killing people these days. It's the crazy amount prices of equipment have gone up, right?
Exactly. No, that it's brutal. It honestly is. That's why you kind of find loopholes. Like this year, like when I start playing junior, you find like loopholes to get sticks, like pro stocks and all that.
Oh, exactly.
But, like, even then, like, one pair of skates, like you said, that's a car payment right there. So,
oh, exactly, right? And, like, And like you said, with the Pro Stock sticks, like I know I didn't get the deals with Junior C, but you can go and find some stores that have some holdovers on Pro Stocks. But like we had a deal with guys where we were getting the Pro Stock sticks for $120, right? So that's a lot more doable than the $400 to $450 price tag is these days.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to sometimes when you look to try and compete with other sports like soccer or football that are generally a lot more cheaper, and then you want to throw your kid in hockey. Well, I mean, that's 10 times the price, right? So, I mean, that's a whole nother topic we could get into too with the price, yeah, but
exactly.
Yeah.
And that there's a reason why one of them is the most popular sport in the world, mm-hmm. right?
Just from your guys' experience, I guess, Nick, I'll start with you. Where do you see the future of Junior B and C hockey in terms of Alberta as well as around the country?
I think that it all depends on what Hockey Canada does. Because you look around the news right now and you see what's going on with these AJHL teams jumping over into BC. Hockey Canada has kind of got away from what made it so great to the point where we were leaps and bounds ahead of every other country in the world in hockey. I had mentioned in the intro there that you look at the Wayne Gretzky's, the Shea Webbers, and the guys who went through the Junior B system, and some of the guys you mentioned earlier of that went through the Junior C system. It was designed to be a feeder league, right? So you get guys who maybe can't go play the Junior A, maybe can't go play the CHL level of hockey straight out of their final year of U18. So you start at the level you need to, whether that's C, B, A, whatever it is, right? And so then, at least to my knowledge, and BC is still somewhat set up like this, but Alberta needs to get on this where you have a Junior C team that's an affiliate to a singular Junior B team, that's an affiliate to a single Junior A team, which is an affiliate to a single CHL team, whether it's the WHL, the OHL, or the QMJHL, right? But you bring in a coaching staff at all these different levels that carry the same philosophy, carry the same tactics and stuff like that. So when you go from U18 to Junior C, it's like as soon as you hit that Junior C level, you're playing the same systems, the same mentality, all that stuff as they are in Junior B, as they are in Junior A, as they are in WHL, QMJHL, and OHL, and then so on and so forth. You can go on from there, right? But you look at the U.S. development program and stuff like that. They are all playing the same systems. They're all getting to know each other from a young age. It's all just a seamless transition. That's why you've seen exponential growth in American hockey. It's same with Sweden. It's same with Finland. It's same with like Germany. You look at the rise Germany has taken on the world stage in the last 10 years. Austria is coming up. Poland is looking good here at this world, at the IIHF Worlds right now, right? They may not be winning games, but 10 years ago, Poland wouldn't be in the big tournament, right? And so you see these countries are doing things and we're still stuck in doing it the old kind of way. And so it's time that we take, it's time for once that Canada, when it comes to hockey, takes notes from other countries and we set up a seamless transition between all of these levels so we can start developing and getting people into a cohesive system where we can go out and make sure that it's not just the best for the country, but it's the best for the players. It gives the players the best opportunity to get as high as they can achieve, right?
Yeah, like you said, like the junior, you talk about the top levels and how that's going to start being affected. But yeah, Junior B and C, man, it's near the bottom, but it affects everything above it, you know? Like it's this whole downflow stuff. And I think if Hockey Canada doesn't start taking stuff a different way, like we said earlier, we're gonna be shocked when we're, you know, not making it to the medal rounds of World Juniors or Olympics or that kind of stuff, right?
Exactly.
Ashton, too, just to you, what advice would you have to somebody like you know, they're maybe in U16, they want to go play underage Junior B, or they're finishing up U18 and they're thinking, I'm going to university, I'm going to college, like maybe I'll just play Junior C. What advice would you have to somebody coming out of U18 that is maybe debating on, you know, playing in one of these junior leagues?
I mean, like, go for it. You're going to have to work your ass off, right? No matter what league, because everyone wants to make that team. And obviously with Junior C and Junior B, there's the competitiveness is different. So you'll have to adapt to it a little bit different and figure out ways that you can be effective on the ice. Like, I'm not a big speed guy, but I was good in front of the net. So you gotta, if you have one thing that you're good at, just stay good at it. And I mean, just work your ass off to make the team, because anything can happen, really.
Yeah, make the team is huge. Yeah. I got a funny story too. I played hockey all the way through, right? I was U18, finished in Barrhead, and then I moved to university, and that was my first year of university. I was like, oh, I don't want to play hockey this year. I played it all my life. Took a year off. Freshman 15 hit me like a train. I took a year off, barely exercised, barely did anything. You know, you're having a couple pops every weekend, and like stuff catches up quickly. And then after that first year, Nick was like, oh, come out to the Ice Kings tryouts, man. Like, just see how it goes. Play some junior C with us. I went out there, and I was the slowest guy out there. I had no speed left, which used to be like the thing I was known for. And it's amazing what taking one year off does to your body and does to your health. And, you know, your competitiveness edge for the game is just gone. So same thing. I would suggest anybody coming out of high school, coming out of U18, if you have any desire to play competitive hockey 1 or 2 years down the road, do not take a year off. Maybe you're so tired of hockey, like you don't want to take a year off. Just keep playing. Trust me, if you want to play in any of these leagues like Junior C or B, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. If you take a year off, your fitness is going to be gone. You can go in the gym as much as you want, but playing hockey is like such a completely different beast. And if you take a year off, your body's going to be hurt the next time you step on the ice. Nick, would you agree with that?
No, definitely I would agree with that, because I didn't play my last year at U18. And after that, I went straight into Junior B. My buddy, like Bastion, I got told, hey, you should come out and try out on the day of the tryouts, right? I was lucky. I played basketball and volleyball and stuff instead, so I was still active. But like you said, you lose that half step to the step of skating, right? And it makes such a difference, right? And I look back at it now, and I look at who I was my second last year of U18 to where I was in my first year of Junior B, and I just wish I could have got that half step back, right? I regretted taking that year off, because you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. And it's so hard to gain it back once you've lost it. Right?
Yeah, you play the sport all your life. And I think especially when you finish high school, going to university work, you know, it keeps you occupied. It keeps you out of trouble in a way. And maybe just, you know, keeps a sense of familiarity when it's a time in your life where there's a lot of things changing.
No, and like it's for people who are coming to from rural areas, or you're coming from Edmonton to Calgary or Calgary to Edmonton, it's a great way to meet people and find some common people, like just friends and stuff like that, who you never thought you would meet or never thought you'd have the chance to do, right? It's a great way to get your foot into the door, and when you're moving to a new area for school, mm-hmm, right?
For sure. Yeah, that all that change, it's nice to have some familiarity and keep stuff there. Ashton, now that you're done your junior year, like how old are you now?
20.
20? Okay. So you're not playing competitive next year then, hey?
No, it's I have one more year left, but the fourth year is like, I think there's like 12 of us, like 12 O3s or something, and I don't know, kind of went out with a bang this year, had a good year. So I'll just rip some beer league and I don't know, just kind of have fun now, just chill out, find another passion that I can kind of grow into my life now. So
totally. Do you think you'd ever have any interest in coaching at any point? Or is that something far, far away or non-existent?
Oh, 100%. Like I'd like to coach. I mean, it's cool to see people grow in the game and watch them progress over like all the practices and stuff. So it's definitely something I kind of want to get into. I mean, my dad coached me when I was younger, and just seeing how proud he was of me is something I kind of want to go through as well.
Absolutely. It's a real rewarding route from what I hear from people that coach their kids as well. So yeah, Ashton, appreciate you doing this, man. Mm-hmm. Who's your pick for the Stanley Cup this year, man? The Oilers are looking good, but there's a couple options, eh?
Yeah, you know what? As much as I want to cheer for like a Canadian team if the Oilers lose, I can't cheer for the Canucks. I think their fans really just ruined it for me. So if the Oilers lose, catch me being a proud Cowboy. So let's go Dallas Stars if the Oilers lose.
Hell yeah.
Did you see that video where the people are yelling into the mic in Vancouver, chirping like McDavid and Hyman? I think that pissed a lot of people off.
Oh yeah, I like the rebuttal by Hyman though. Scores the first goal of the series after that, because I think the first clip was them saying they hated Hyman, like "F you, Hyman," kind of. So,
Ashton, thank you so much for coming on, man. We're giving this a good shot, and I appreciate taking some time on busy game night to come chat with us and talk about it. So, hope to have you on in the future when we're still going, and we can chat more about some different stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like thanks for having me. I mean, first episode. I mean, you helped us by getting me some good videos, and I mean, I'm always down to help you out. And I thought podcasts were pretty cool. I've never done one, so we got to try everything, right?
Awesome. Thanks, Ashton. Appreciate it, brother. And I'm sure we'll see you soon.
All right. Yeah, I'll see you later.
Huge thanks to Ashton Mackey for taking some time to chat with us today. Great guy. He's played the junior C, he's played the junior B, he knows kind of what's up there, and it was just great chatting with him and his viewpoint about it, and you know, kind of what your life can kind of look like if you decide to jump into junior B or C after finishing your minor hockey. So it's cool to get another viewpoint, and Nick must have been good to be able to bounce some similar experiences and thoughts off him too, eh?
No, it's cool to you grow up, you play, and you're on one team, they're on the other team, and you don't really, like, I know growing up, like, when I was playing junior B, junior C, despised Beaumont, absolutely despised him. Going into that barn, Ashton mentioned it, the atmosphere in that barn, they play out of the old rink in Beaumont, you have to go down a set of stairs to get to the dressing rooms, and every time you walk down those stairs, you just dread it, because you know the barn is going to be packed. You know, the fans are going to be loud. You know, there's going to be a big ass air compressor powered air horn by the Zamboni door that every hit, every turnover, every offside, every icing, every big save on their goalie's end, every goal, that thing is just going off, and your ears are ringing for hours after. And to sit back and after all that kind of stuff has dissipated and you don't have that competitive edge no more, and you get to just sit there and talk and hear what it was actually like to be in rooms that you weren't in, and see that bond that you feel in a dressing room is the same no matter where you go. It's awesome to get that perspective.
Totally. And that's the one thing, I went to the NJHL All-Star game this last year, but the year before last, like, some of those Beaumont guys were telling me, like, it's in the middle of the season, they have that All-Star game, but you got all these guys on separate teams walking around chatting, laughing with each other, and they're all saying, yeah, like, you know, we're competitive, like, once we play again tomorrow, we're going to hate each other's guts, but today we're all just a bunch of guys that love playing the game and wanted to keep playing this after we're done school. So you know, at the end of the day, we all play the game for a specific reason, and we all have that same competitive edge and that same passion for the sport. So it's really cool to see, and that's kind of just what it all comes down to.
No, definitely. And like my dad always had a saying that always stuck with me. It was, when you walk into a dressing room, as soon as you put on that same color jersey, there's a bond that will last a lifetime, and you'll go to war for the person wearing that same color jersey. It doesn't matter if you played against them all the way through, they did something you didn't like, as soon as they have that same color jersey on, there's nothing you wouldn't do for them. And that's one of the beautiful things about this game we all love.
I really think junior B and C, it's underrated. It gets looked over a lot, and you know, hopefully these leagues just continue to grow, because I know the people at the top, they're not doing it for the money, they're not doing it for the recognition, they're doing it because they played the game themselves, they understand what these kids are going through, and often a big change in their lives, and it's good to have that familiarity. And you know, like I said, the people that are running these leagues are great people, and they're doing it for the right reason. So
no, exactly. And for people out there that are looking, and you're getting ready at school's out coming up here in the next month or so, people graduating high school, aging out of hockey, and you may be moving to a place you've never been before, hockey is one of the most beautiful things to be able to make friends with. And you're able to go in there, go into a dressing room, try out for the team. Like Ashton said, work your ass off, get on that team, and right there's 17 friends you've made, right? And it's a good way to get your foot into the door in a new area to find new connections and continue playing the game we all love.
100%, brother. Definitely consider checking it out, guys. We've got a lot of the local leagues here in Alberta are the NJHL, Norralta Junior Hockey League. And then out in Calgary, just search up Hockey Calgary Junior C. You'll be able to find it that way. All the Junior B leagues, if you're in Edmonton or Calgary, search them up, Junior B Edmonton Calgary. You'll find them easy, as well as some of those rural teams. You have plenty of options to keep playing, guys. Don't hang it up just because you're finishing up high school or going to university. Keep playing, guys. It's best thing you can do for your health and just, you know, keeping that familiarity. So definitely check it out, and really appreciate you guys joining us for this episode one. Really excited to take on this different form of content, hopefully bring you guys a new type of content, and we're excited to keep going with this and pushing out a couple more topics here in the local hockey scene for you. And thanks again, Nick, for joining me, man. I hope to have you along for a couple more.
Oh, definitely. Anytime you want or need a co-host, I'm here for you.
Beauty. This is the Scholten Productions podcast, and we will catch you guys on the next one.